In Psalms 111, we're given an exhortation. And it's interesting how many of the Psalms, to praise the Lord, bring up the thought of remembering. You know, what do you remember as you go through your week? I'm going to be talking about that this week, and Lord willing, also some more next week, if a grandchild doesn't arrive before then and take me out of town. But in Psalms 111, verse 1, it says, "Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart in the company of the upright and in the assembly. Great are the works of the Lord. They are to be studied by all who delight in Him, in them. Splendid and majestic is His work, and His righteousness endures forever. He has made His wonders to be remembered." He has made His wonders to be remembered, and the Lord is gracious and compassionate. He has given food to those who fear Him, and He will remember His covenant forever. He says, He made His works to be remembered. He says, I will remember my covenant. I will remember my promises forever. I've had situations at times where I'm dealing with a person who's age or health has put them in a spot where they can no longer remember the promises of God. And it's one of the most frustrating things for a believer to get to a place where their mind doesn't work the way it used to. But one of the neat things that God gave me one time when I was talking to a lady about this, and I've used it many times since, I says, "Do you think God would ever forget His promises to you?" And as a dear saint, she goes, "No, He never would." And I says, "Then let's let Him remember them." You know, even when we don't remember them, God remembers and God keeps. But what He asks us to do who have the memory is to give Him praise. And when the Bible says praise the Lord, that's kind of two things going on there. One, it's the psalmist saying, praise the Lord. He's making a declaration that says, I want to give God praise. But it's not just a declaration, it's also a command which says, you all, praise the Lord. That's His direction. It says, you should be telling God, thank you. Now, fathers, do you not appreciate when your children thank you for what you do? When they look and recognize little things that you do, big things that you do, doesn't that touch your heart? Isn't that right, dads? That's a good thing. Some of you are going, I'm still waiting for that to happen. You know? But you know, we are to tell our Father thank you. And I'm here to say there is not enough time in the day to give Him the thanks that He is worthy of. See, I can focus on my problems and my pain, and I got plenty. But if I focus on the blessings and the grace that He has shown to me, I've got praise. Is that right? And that's God's call to us, that you would be a person of affirmation and appreciation, because God's worthy of your worship. God's worthy of your celebration. And so He says, I will give thanks to the Lord. Now notice this. This is another good one. It deals with the spiritually adolescent. Okay. He says, I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. Now, what do I mean by the spiritually adolescent? Well, the spiritual adolescent will say, thanks. Yeah, that was good. Thanks. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that was good. Thanks. No, he said, God says, with all my heart. So it's not just a nod to God. Yeah, that was cool. You know, with all my heart. You know, when someone gives you something great, there ought to be a great response. Do you remember that story of Jesus and Simon? He was one of the Pharisees, and Jesus came in, and they were having dinner, and this lady comes in, and she starts weeping, and she's washing Jesus' feet with her hair. And Simon, in his mind, this Pharisee, says, you know, if Jesus was really a prophet, He'd know what kind of woman that is. And Jesus just turned to Simon and He said, Simon, if If a master forgives his servants one a small debt, the other the larger debt, which one's gonna love him more? He says, well, I suppose the one who's forgiven the most. And then he says, this woman here has washed my feet. You didn't wash my feet when I came in. She has shown this. And it just showed that thought of when we recognize who we are and how much God's forgiven us, we ought to be those who love him more. Amen? I've got plenty of forgiveness that I've experienced. And so there ought to be a whole heart. So one of the things I want to talk to you about is that idea that throughout your day, you make choices to be sincere and abundant in your gratitude. That, I mean, I know this has never happened at your house, but I have seen it happen at this place called 5424 Easy Street. Okay? And it was my residence. Okay? And where you bow your head to thank the Lord for the food, and you haven't even focused your mind enough to what you're going to say, and you pray something inappropriate for the setting that you're in. Do you know what I'm talking about? Sometimes we really don't focus very much on him, and we don't give him that honor. It's not wholehearted. It's a ritual. You can just start saying the words. That's not what this is about. It's about wholehearted praise. So give God more than a nod. Give him your heart. Give him your sincerity. Give him your enthusiasm. I mean, I've watched some of you greet somebody that you haven't seen for a long time, particularly ladies. I don't understand exactly how this works, but that, oh, I'm so glad to see you. I don't know where they teach you ladies that stuff, but I've seen it happen, you know. But when you think about coming towards God, do you give him an enthusiastic response that my God has been so, so good to me that I can't wait to praise him? And then he says this. He even tells you not just that you should give thanks and not just how you should give thanks, but he tells you where to give thanks. Did you see that? In the company of the upright and in the assembly. So he says whether you're in your small group or whether you're gathered together in the whole assembly. That's what this is. The ecclesia is the Greek word for it. It's the gathering. It's the church. Church is not this building. Church is you guys. You're the family of God. He says when the family gets together, give praise. Give God honor. Do others know how you feel about God? That's something you can communicate publicly. I remember one of the most embarrassing moments in my spiritual life in high school. And I had started witnessing to this guy and inviting him to become a believer. And we had this guy we called Holy Sam, and at our church, at our school, and Holy Sam, he may have been holy, but he was highly offensive to a lot of people. He sang hymns as he went through the senior hall. He was always tracking people. He was just pushing his religion on people, and to a lot of people, it was very offensive. But this friend of mine, when I was talking to him, I says, "Wouldn't you like to become a Christian?" He says, "Well, maybe." I says, "What do you mean?" He says, "Well, I kind of like to be a Christian like you, not one like Sam." I says, "What do you mean?" He says, "Well, I'd like to be one where they can't tell." I hope you can be told by other people, you're a Christian. People know that there's a praise on your lips. You know, you don't have to be preaching at people, but if you give honor to God during the day, if you acknowledge what he's doing, people will know. I think it should be easy to convict us of being Christians. We have to live in such a way that they can tell. So he tells us that here, that you're to give that testimony, because great are the works of the Lord. They're studied by those who delight in them. That people who really love God will study his works. You'll read his stories. That's why we have you listening through your New Testament. Some of you are hearing stories you've never heard before. Isn't that right? You're going, I didn't know that was in the Bible. As you listen to the word of God, you study what he's done, and it stirs you up to give praise. Because here's what it says. Splendid and majestic is his work. Would you agree with that? That God's work is great, splendid, and majestic. Amen? I'm glad I got like 12 people agreeing with me today. That's just good. Do you think God's work is great, splendid, and majestic? All right. Now, you know, they say a picture is worth a thousand words. I want to take you a couple places very quickly because I can say a whole lot more with a couple of pictures. And the first place I'd like to take you is about 16,000 light years away. All right. Oh, actually, no, that's 150 million light years away. The spiral galaxy. God cast that into space. And this place here, it's only 16 million light years. You're looking at 100,000 stars. You know, they used to talk about how many stars there are. Now they're trying to figure out how many galaxies they are. And they can't come up with a count. That's because your God is great. But not only that, he is a God who is splendid. The work that he does is just, the detail is incredible. How about going with me to the top of a 20,000, 9,000 foot mountain, Mount Everest? And you see in that creation something that is just astounding. And so no matter how big it is, or maybe even how small something is, there is the beauty and the glory of God that's revealed that we ought to be giving him praise because he's doing some amazing work, isn't he? And when you look at his creation, it's astounding to think about. I mean, how can a 79,000-pound mammal launch itself into the air? Is that incredible? But God has made a creation that declares his greatness in every aspect. And whether it's a 79,000-pound mammal or a 7-pound creation, is great, and he's mighty, and he's awesome, and he's splendid. Amen? And so he's worthy of our praise because he will keep his covenant with you. He is one that you can trust. And so this morning we're going to continue in worship, and then I'm going to invite you to come back to him with praise, that you would tell the Lord how great he is. Would you stand with me as we worship some more?